Hi guys, my name is Carrie. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My home group is the New Horizons Group in beautiful Bend, Oregon, and I'm currently living in the disciplines of steps 10, 11, and 12. And today I get to be here with my friend Jen because she is visiting from Portland because she is a DCM from a neighboring district and my home group had our group inventory this last Tuesday, and she was able to come and facilitate it for us. So that's kind of cool. I am going to be talking about recovery out of the 12, out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is where the 12 steps come from. And I know that some of you guys just looking around the room are used to hearing me talk more about unity and service and service and unity and then more unity and service and more steps and more traditions. But one of the things that I got to kind of warn you about is as we're going through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as outlined in this book, I am going to still be kind of talking about the traditions once in a while. And one of the reasons for that is, I have a harder and harder time separating the steps and the traditions. I find myself talking about the steps a lot when I give a tradition presentation, and I find vice versa as well. And the other reason that I might be referencing some traditions as we go through the big book is, and this is a secret, but I guess the secret's out now because we're recording this. So, one of the things that I love about the big book is when I first got sober, I would hear, I guess what I would call back then big book thumpers, who I tried to steer clear of, saying things about the big book, such as it was divinely inspired, and these things that are like, really? I mean, a stockbroker and a butt doctor wrote the book when it was like, I don't know, super, they were, I don't understand how they could have even thought that two old white men could tell me how to recover, And so I definitely didn't feel like anything was divinely inspired. And ironically, after I finally got in enough pain, in Alcoholics Anonymous, going to 2 to 3 meetings a day, for 9 months, and if there was a potluck, I was there. I was definitely well acquainted with the fellowship. If there was an AA dance, I was there. If there was a camping trip, I was there. I mean, I was definitely the fellowship girl. But I was getting sicker and sicker. I was getting more sick. And one of the things that happened was I finally got desperate enough, right? I got into the jumping off place in AA to grab myself a sponsor who is a recovered alcoholic who works out of this book. And we ended up going through this work line by line, page by page, word for word. And she wouldn't change the words to suit my comfortability. She wouldn't add words or let me add words. She wouldn't allow me to take away the words. In my first big book, the word God was crossed out all 232 times with Sharpie, by the way. And that was just kind of how, I came to you guys. And what happened as a result of going through these steps out of this book is, without my permission, I had a spiritual awakening. And the drink problem was removed. And this chronic alcoholic that came to you with a college party in my head, going drink, 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 who couldn't even walk down the cheese aisle because it shares the aisle with the beer in the grocery store. And I had to drive all the way to the other side of town to buy a brick of cheese because that's the closest store that doesn't sell the cheese and the beer together. I don't, anyway, all of a sudden, after having gone through this work, that problem was removed. And I'm not obsessing over alcohol. And I quite frankly don't even want to drink alcohol anymore. And so that was my first kind of spiritual awakening, right? I mean, it's like, whoa, what happened? I can't even believe that it's been months since I got in the ring with King Alcohol and had my ass handed to me. And it's been weeks since, probably months since I even thought about a drink. And I had not gone 24 hours without a drink or without thinking about a drink. Probably my, I mean, probably my whole life. I was either wasted or recovering from a terrible hangover or planning the next drink. And so when that problem was removed, it was miraculous, right? So the second spiritual awakening I had was when I started to learn about the traditions. I started, and I've never not taken, ever since my spiritual awakening, I have never not been in the book with another alcoholic. I have never not sponsored. And I sponsor many women today, but let me just tell you, I just there's a distinction. I sponsor many women today, like the woman, well, the woman who's sitting next to me. I sponsor her, but I'm not in the book with her because I've already done that, and now she's in the book with a dozen others, and that's what my relationship now consists of with her. But no matter how many women that I'm sponsoring, I am always in the book with a new alcoholic. I always have a newcomer for myself the first time through, you know, in the book. And I've never not, ever since I first went through and had my own spiritual awakening. It's this thing that I really do believe that you got to give it away to keep it. I don't want to know what happens if I don't give it away. I don't, I've never not done it. And so it's working good for me, so I keep doing it. One of the things though that, and this is kind of where I'm coming to is, when you go, when you're going through the book as much as I have been through the book, and I'll just tell you right from the get, I didn't know how to read when I came to AA. I had never read a book in my life. My sobriety date is March 25th, 2010. And so I'm about 13 and a half years sober, and I still don't read well. It sounds like I do when I'm reading out of the book because of all the times I've taken people through the book, right? I've never read even this book from cover to cover by myself. The only, I started learning how to read by going through the big book with my sponsor. And then it helped me to read by taking someone else through the book, and then someone else through the book, and someone else through the book. And honestly, that's how I know how to read today, is by going through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous with another alcoholic. And so one of the things that you can't help, for me, I couldn't help but notice after I learned the 12 traditions, and then I started acquiring this working knowledge of the 12 traditions, all of a sudden I'm with a newcomer, you know, somewhere in the first step or second step or whatever. And all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm seeing these traditions pop out of the page at me. And I realized, and I've highlighted them all, I realized that every single one of our 12 traditions is in the first 164 pages of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, even though the first 164 pages of the Big Book were written 10 years before the traditions were ever even thought of. Now, if that's not divinely inspired, I don't know what is. I'm not a fake it till you make it girl. I need proof. For me, that's proof. The fact that those 12 traditions can be found in the basic text years before they were ever created, and those principles are intertwined in our steps is proof for me. That's enough proof for me. So divinely inspired, I must have drank the Kool-Aid somewhere along the lines, but it doesn't make me want to throw up anymore when I hear someone else calling this book divinely inspired. So with that, I will be pointing out, some traditions along the way, and I hope that that's going to be okay. So I'm going to start on the cover page. First, I'm going to explain a little bit about what this is. What I'm using is the abridged version. Your committee, your literature committee there in your district is I love what you guys are doing, how you're featuring a different piece of literature every month or every quarter or whatever it is that you're doing. I think it's a great idea, and you guys are doing a great job down there in South Florida. And I just know that with this book, and thank you so much for picking this book for the literature that I get to kind of talk about, because it feels like I picked the longest straw, right? I get to talk on the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is awesome because it's my favorite book in the whole world. It's the only one I've ever read. So anyways, I just wanted to say what this book has in it is A, it's super cheap. It just went up from $5 to $6. You can buy it at most of your local intergroup offices if you want to buy the book from AA World Services. It's like, well, the case of them, which was 20, was only $100 not too long ago. So now I think it'd be like, what, $120. So super cheap. I know that for my home group, we, before they made these books, before they started making the large print abridged version, we used to use regular big books at my home group big book study, but it was always a waste when they started falling apart because the second half of the book, the stories in the back, they weren't touched because you don't, study the stories. The stories are wonderful. I love the stories. They're for the isolated and the incarcerated, and they're for identification, and they have their place. But we had a big book study and where we studied the steps and the basic text. And so the back of the book was always falling apart. Or the front of the book was always falling apart, and back of the book's brand new, and we're having to buy new books. And so these are really great because A, they only come with the part of the book that's meant to be studied, right? They don't come with the stories. And B, it's large print. And so, like, the average member in my home group is like 200 years old. And so sometimes they forget to bring their glasses. And so these are great because everybody can participate, right? But it's really large print. So with that, I'm going to open up to the first page of my abridged version that just simply says Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the title of the book. So before Alcoholics Anonymous, there was an alcohol problem, obviously, since men first crushed grapes. This isn't a new thing, alcoholism, right? It's been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And they used to just lock us up or put us down. Lock us up or put us down. Like, that's kind of their what they had to. Those are the options up until in the 1840. In 1840, so about 100 years, give or take, before Alcoholics Anonymous came to be, the Washingtonians were the very first. I wouldn't call it a program. They were the first fellowship that almost had the cure for alcoholism. They almost had something. And what happened was in Baltimore in 1940, in Chase Tavern. So whenever I hear the name Chase Tavern, for some reason, I see it written like Cheers, right? Like I don't know if you guys watched Cheers a long time ago, but that's what I always think of when I see this tavern in my head. So at Chase Tavern, these six guys would sit around after work and they'd have a few beers. And every once in a while, One of them would get in trouble with the wife for having a few too many beers. And then one of them would get in trouble with the boss for coming in drunk or hungover. And or one of them would get in trouble with the law and he'd get pulled over and he'd get, in trouble because he ran into somebody's car or something, right? And so more often than not, these six men were going on the wagon by themselves, and the other men would drink. And finally, one of the men out of these six friends said, "Well, you know what? What we all just do it. Why don't we make a pact?" And so they made a pact, and they all decided to quit drinking together. And you know what? They did it, and it worked because they had fellowship. And these six men started coming to the bar having lemonade or water, and the bartender's like, "You guys have been here like over a month ordering nothing at Scoot, like bye-bye, right?" And so they started meeting in the local library, and word got out that they were staying sober. So more and more people started joining them to stay sober. And the Washingtonian movement became as big after 2 years as Alcoholics Anonymous was after 10 years in only 2 short years. And this was before all of the, the 100 years later, we had more communication tools. We had radio, we had all the stuff that we had when AA was started was a lot more than just the word of mouth from the Washingtonians. So it grew fast. And one of the things that happened was that they didn't have traditions. And so when everybody was getting and staying sober, they thought, you know what? Since we're doing such a great job not drinking, why don't we help people with other stuff? Why does it just have to be not drinking? Let's not do a whole bunch of other things, and we can help them, and we can help them, and we can have a say on the temperance movement, and we can have a say on politics and all of this stuff. And if we can help alcoholics, then we can help. But imagine what we could do. We could help change the world. And they were drunk within 2 years. The whole Washingtonian society, not just the six men. And they collapsed. And so by the time Bill and Bob started getting the idea of maybe it might be a good idea to start creating some traditions, and writing a big book, the Washingtonians weren't even heard of. They were so here today, gone tomorrow, that nobody had ever even heard of them 100 years later. And so that's telling. But that's the first thing that happened before Alcoholics Anonymous. So now we're going to look at the cover page. So that was the title page. And now we're going to look at the next page, which is the description of the big book. So the next page says Alcoholics Anonymous, and then it tells what it is. It says it is the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. I would say that sounds like the first promise of, the first hope in the big book, the first promise that there is a solution, right? Hopeless, helpless alcoholics can recover. And not just a few, but many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. That is what this story is about. So moving on to the next page is the table of contents. And we have 19 weeks, so I'm going to take it slow so that we get a lot out of it. I'm you normally a very fast talker, and so I'm being very mindful about keeping the pace down a little bit. I think that's probably why Dee gave me 18 weeks to do this, but because she wants me to talk slower. But I'm not going to go through every word of the book because I don't want you guys to fall asleep. I'm going to touch on the places that I find really pertinent. So the table of contents is one of those places, believe it or not. So the foreword to the first edition is on, in my book, IX. It's going to be different if you have a book with the stories in the back. And then we go, the next thing on the table of contents says the next chapter is called the foreword to the first edition under the section called chapters. The foreword to the first edition, or the foreword to the second edition, was published in 1955. We had our second edition that was published. So that was, you know, in 1939, we published the first edition. So was 20 years, right? Give or take 18 years. And every about 20 years, give or take, we publish another edition. We're publishing the fifth edition right now. So after the foreword to the second edition came out in 1955, about 21 years later, in 1976, the foreword to the third edition was published. And then about 20 years later, in 2001, the foreword to the fourth edition was published. The doctor's opinion, Dr. Silkworth wrote the doctor's opinion, and the doctor's opinion was actually in the first edition on page one. Page one started with the doctor's opinion. And personally, I love it there. I think that's where it belongs. If you're an alcoholic of my type, I needed to know what the problem was before I could accept your solution. And so I'm really glad that the doctor's opinion was on page one in the first edition. Now, by the time we came out with the second edition, remember it was 1955, and we had adopted 12 additional principles, and those are the 12 traditions. And one of the traditions require members of Alcoholics Anonymous, people who carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, to be alcoholics. And Dr. Silkworth wasn't an alcoholic. And so we had to take his letter out of the first 164 pages because he was a non-alcoholic. So what we did, because it was still so pertinent that it remained in the front of the book, was that we just gave him some Roman numerals, and we moved page one to the first page written by an alcoholic, which was Bill. Bill's story is starts now, page one. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that we gave Silkworth some Roman numerals instead of putting him in the back of the book. I think that it's a good place for him to be in the front of the book, for the doctor's opinion to be where it is and to be left alone. So page one, chapter one starts with the first alcoholic who's doing the writing in the book, which is Bill W. And that's Bill's story. And Bill's story, chapter one, is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what's so cool about Bill's story is all the rest of the chapters can be reconciled with Bill's story. And we're going to be doing some really fun highlights and reconciliations throughout the entire book, bringing it back to Bill's story over and over again throughout the entire rest of the chapters. There is almost identical quotes to Bill's story, and it shows that nobody made this stuff up. This is real life lived experience. And that's why Bill's story is in the front of the book, is because that's where we got the program. Bill lived it. That was Bill's experience. And so we get to go through Bill's story as chapter one. And then chapter two, which is There Is a Solution, outlines the problem and the solution pretty well, and then more about alcoholism, is exactly what it says. It's more about alcoholism. So it's more information. And so Bill's story, which is chapter one, also the doctor's opinion. I'll throw the doctor's opinion in there. Depending on who your sponsor is, I believe step one consists of the doctor's opinion through chapter four. So through the end of chapter three, more about alcoholism. If your sponsor doesn't include the doctor's opinion in that, then that's fine. They don't, you don't need to. I've also heard people say that step one starts on page 30, and it doesn't get over, until page 44. And that's okay too. Personally, step one for me and those I sponsor start on the doctor's opinion, and it goes all the way up until page 44, which is we agnostics, and that is, and it actually goes one paragraph into page 44. Step one does, and so step two is we agnostic. That's the chapter that outlines step two. And then how it works, chapter five is steps three and four. Into action is steps 5 through 11. And then working with others gets an entirely the whole is step 12. And step 12 has a chapter all to itself because it is a really big step. And our usual 12-step work could never be organized. So instead of the clear-cut directions and instructions that we're going to be reading through the first 11 steps, and you'll notice that the big book uses words like the first requirement and clear-cut and very, very well clear-cut instructions all the way up until step 12. And then, because of tradition nine, which says AA as such ought never be organized, and as such is one alcoholic with another, right? Because AA behind the scenes, our business meetings, our committee meetings, all that stuff, that's organized. But AA as such, one alcoholic to another, step 12 ought never be organized. So step 12 is huge, that chapter, because it's not going to give any clear-cut instructions anymore. It's going to say, use your intuition. It's going to say, now you are a channel. Pray for the right thought or action. It's going to say, if your prospect does this, you might want to try this. If your prospect does that, you might want to try that. But we're not going to tell you what to do because every alcoholic is different. And so it's a pretty big chapter, that chapter seven. Then chapter eight is two wives. Some people don't care for that chapter because it's a little archaic, because of some of the language used, and sometimes it seems dated. Same with the family afterward. What I would encourage for anybody who feels that way, which I did, is my sponsor said that the forgotten four, which are chapters 8 through 11, because the steps stop on page 103, right? So the steps go all the way through working with others. That's where the 12 steps are. But some would suggest, and my sponsor does, that those last four chapters is a continuation of working with others, because two wives is telling you how to work with the husband and how to deal with the drunk, right? The family afterward, same thing. To the employer, same thing. And a lot of my highlights in these chapters are spiritual principles that I employ with the women that I work with newcomers, because they are spiritual principles and they definitely work with alcoholics, right? Across the board. And so my highlights are mainly in those chapters. They're based on the spiritual principles outlined in those chapters and not necessarily what the chapters are called, if that makes sense. A Vision for You is a bit of a compilation between all of the other chapters. So it ties up the all of the other chapters in a bow. You can hear about Bill in Vision for You all the way down to you. It goes through the last couple of pages is two wives, family afterward, two employer. It covers all of that in Vision for You, but it starts out in the beginning. So it's kind of like a recap of all of the previous chapters. And that's what Vision for You is. And it's a beautiful chapter, probably one of my favorites today. And then in my book, Dr. Bob's Nightmare, which usually heads up the stories, is actually included in this book, even though Dr. Bob's Nightmare isn't part of the program of action. And that's for historic value, right? Dr. Bob was our co-founder. And if it weren't for him and Bill meeting up in on Mother's Day, 1935, then none of us would be here. And so for historic value, Dr. Bob's Nightmare is also published in the study edition. And then, of course, there's the appendices in the back, and those are important too. So I have a little bit of time. So let's knock out a couple of the preface, first of all. On my book, it is page VII, and that's the book we're studying. We're studying this, the study edition, and so that's what I'm going to be doing. So VII. It says this is the fourth edition of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. The first edition appeared in April 1939. And in the following 16 years, more than 300,000 copies went into circulation. The second edition, published in 1955, reached a total of more than 1,150,500 copies. The third edition, which came off the press in 1976, achieved a circulation of approximately 19,550,000 in all formats. So by this time, we've had the formats of the hardcover, the soft cover, the study edition, the abridged, the pocket edition, right? And so they're counting all of the formats in that. Now here's the highlight for me. The next sentence, I have three words highlighted in the next sentence, and I'm going to get to why after I read some more, but the three words I have highlighted is the basic text. Now, when we're going through this work, when we're going as we go through this book, for those of you who are going to be with us for the next 19 weeks, 18 weeks, if I say something twice, that means it's a highlight. So if I repeat myself, that's your code. That means that's a highlight of mine personally. It doesn't mean you have to highlight it, but that's what my highlights are. So because this book has become the basic text for our society and has helped such large numbers of alcoholic men and women to their recovery, there exists strong sentiment against any radical changes being made in it. Therefore, the first portion of this volume describing the AA recovery program, the AA recovery program has been left largely untouched in the course of revisions made for the second, third, and fourth editions. The section called the doctor's opinion has been kept intact just as it was originally written in 1939 by the late Dr. William D. Silkworth, our society's great medical benefactor. The second printing of the first edition added the appendix Spiritual Experience. In the second edition, the appendices on the AA tradition, the medical view and the religious view of AA, the Lasker Award, and information on how to contact AA were added. And the appendix on the Alcoholic Foundation, appendix on the Alcoholic Foundation was discontinued. Now, why I have that highlighted is because that's Tradition 7. When we had before we had the traditions, we could use words like foundation and donation, and we could imply charitable organizations. We could take money from others. But once we unanimously adopted the 12 traditions, we became self-supporting. And so we no longer take donations, and we had to change the name Alcoholic Foundation because words like foundation and donation imply a charity. And we changed the name of the Alcoholic Foundation to the General Service Office or AA World Services. So that's why that is a highlight there, because that was taken out because we no longer have an alcoholic foundation. But the chief change was in the section of personal stories, which was explained to reflect the fellowship's growth. So real quick, the reason I have the first two highlights, the basic text and the AA recovery program, is because that is what the basic text is. It is the AA recovery program. And there isn't, even though it's 2023, we still don't have any replacement for the basic text, which is the AA's recovery program. And if you guys, with third edition big books, look on the inside of your dust cover. And I only know this because after the second edition of the big book came out, we actually, not long after at all, pretty much at the same time almost, we had the 12 and 12 that came out. And the 12 and 12, people started thinking that it was like something that you could work steps out of, or something where the steps are outlined. And so we made clear on the dust cover of the third edition that the AA message is only found in the first 164 pages of our basic text. And that's the third paragraph on the inside of the dust cover. And so that's why I have these highlights here, is because it says that the AA recovery program is in this basic text. This is where we have the instructions or directions, whatever you prefer, of how to recover from alcoholism. So Bill's story, Dr. Bob's nightmare, and one other personal history from the first edition were retained intact. Three were edited, and one of those was retitled. New versions of two stories were rewritten with new titles. 30 completely new stories were added. This is the stuff I wasn't going to read. So let me skip down. In the third edition, part one, so this is important. So in the third edition, part one is Pioneers of AA. So part one of the stories in the back, and this is what I'm going to close with right here, this paragraph. In part one, the stories in the back are our history, right? That's where, like, Clarence's story, which was AA group number three out of Cleveland, and that's where all of our stories, Jimmy B's story, the vicious cycle, right? All of those, our Southern friend, all of those from the very early, the trailblazers are in that first section. But if you're working with a newcomer, and I find this useful. When I sit down with a newcomer at my home group and I start to try and learn all I can about them, right? Because that's what the big book tells me that I'm supposed to do. And I'm asking them 100 questions and they're getting a little spooked out by me. They do answer most of the time enough for me to know whether they have stopped in time or whether they lost nearly all. And those are the next two sections in the big book, and or then in the stories in the back. So if they stopped in time, and some of you guys might call that low, high bottom, that's where I first send newcomers that I'm working with, for the identification piece, right? And those are the stories that they're going to most connect with. And if I'm working with a low bottom who is still detoxing, I'm going to send them to read some of the stories in They Lost Nearly All. And I like the way that those three sections are divided up because they help me to do my 12-step work.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.